In this session, I'll be talking about how nonviolent communication can support us in deepening our intimate relationships. And let's start with a dialogue that is likely to be heard in almost any intimate relationship, at least variations of it. One person says to the other, "Do you love me?" And the other person said, "Oh, yes, of course." And the first person said, "But I want you to be really sincere about this. So, you know, please, I want you to seriously look at this. Do you love me?" And the other person seriously contemplates this and waits and thinks and then finally said, "Yes, I really do." And the first person said, "Then why did it take you so long to respond?" This question is very important, you know, do you love me? And it's very hard to answer because we very often don't get clear in intimate relationships what we really mean by that word love. In an earlier session, I mentioned how some people use the word love as a feeling, an emotion. And if they do that, it's pretty hard to know how to answer that question without reference to a specific time and place, because feelings change every few seconds. In nonviolent communication, we use the word love as a need, and a very important need. And what's very important, then, is to know how to manifest this need, what to do to contribute to that need being met in the people that we care for and that we have intimate relationships with. I have found in working with couples for many years that the best way that we can really meet people's need for love is to do two things. To, first of all, express those needs within us, those messages within us that are the hardest to express, the most scary to express. Because when we have that ability to share that which is not easy to express, we get a chance to get these needs fulfilled. But if we are so frightened of expressing these needs that we don't say anything, that creates barriers in the relationship. Yet it's very difficult for many reasons for people to express these needs that need to be expressed in intimate relationships. And when they do express the need, very often it's done with an energy that provokes the very opposite of what we would really like. And the reason for that is that instead of seeing expressing needs as a gift to other people, in the culture that we've lived within for about 10,000 years, needs get associated with something very negative. They get associated with being needy. They get associated with being selfish, egocentric. So as a result, when we do express the need, we often do it with that energy behind it. And that leads the need to be heard by other people often as something that is very negative. For example, if I have a need for some support for helping with my children on a given day. I have an important appointment. I can't find some way to take care of the children and get to this appointment, and I need some support, someone to help me with the children. So I go to my partner, and I say, "I know you've got a lot of things planned today, and I had talked about this day being your time to do these things, but you see, I just got an appointment with the doctor that I need to do, and I know it's not necessary for me to do it. I know I could postpone it for another day." In other words, the more I go on with this kind of apology for having the need and justifying it, the harder it is for the other person to give out of a loving energy. So what's very important is to develop a consciousness that our needs are a precious gift if they are expressed in a way in which we are not demanding that the person meet our request in relationship to our needs. If the other person trusts that when we say our needs and we follow it with a request, that we only want them to do it if they can do it willingly, joyfully. So when we have this consciousness that our needs are a gift, we then express them with a totally different energy, an energy that makes it much easier for the other person to enjoy receiving our needs and makes it much easier for them to respond out of the joy of giving. So the intent behind expressing our needs in an intimate relationship is very important, that we see the need as a gift. And then there's two other things that are very important in expressing needs, and that is that we follow the need that isn't being met that we would like to have fulfilled with a clear request. If we simply express the need without the request, it often leaves the other person in a position either of not being too clear what we want or with the idea that we expect them to know what we want them to do about it. So, for example, if partner one says to partner two, "I'm very lonely right now and I really need some connection," and then stops and doesn't say anything about what they're wanting at that moment from the other person, it's very easy for the other person to hear that, well, this person has an expectation of me. I'm supposed to know what it is they want right now. So once we have expressed a need that isn't being met, we need to follow it with a very clear request. And then, as I said in prior sessions, we want to be sure that the other person hears a request and not a demand. And that's often not easy, because especially in an intimate relationship, given what some people have been taught about intimacy and love, if they hear a need of somebody they care for, they can turn it into something they have to do something about. They believe that they are responsible for this other person's happiness, and therefore they must do what this person wants. When we receive the other person's needs in this way, if we do what they want, they'll pay for it. They'll pay for it because we are not giving out of a joyful energy. We're giving out of expectation energy, should energy, or we're giving out of energy to buy the other person's love.